There's an old story that's told of two shopkeepers who were bitter rivals. Their stores were across the street from one another, and they spent their days sitting in the doorway keeping track of who had the most customers. If one got a customer, he would smile in triumph at the other. And in this story, one night, an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers and said, "God has sent me to teach you a lesson. He will give you anything you ask for, but I want you to know that whatever you get, your competitor across the street will get twice as much. Would you like wealth? Ask what you will, only he will get twice as much. Do you want a long and happy life? It is yours. But he will live twice as long. You can be famous. Your children can be famous. Whatever you ask. But whatever you get, he will get twice as much." The man frowned, thought for a moment, and said, "All right. My request is this. Strike me blind in one eye." My friends, that's jealousy. Shakespeare once called jealousy the green-eyed monster. And no wonder, jealousy can be described, and I quote, as a sin with no redeeming features. Nothing to justify its existence. If we lust, we may find some momentary pleasure. If we are a glutton, we may eat a big meal. If we are guilty of slothfulness, we'll get plenty of rest. And even if we are angry, we'll get a few moments of psychological pleasure when we blow our top. But envy, jealousy, brings no rewards at all. It's a self-mutilating sin. It has all the beauty of a trapped rat, gnawing at its feet in a desperate attempt to escape. End quote. Of course, the Bible warns us against jealousy. We can read in Romans 13. Verse 13, that we are to walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling, and not in jealousy. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20 reads, "I fear that perhaps when I come, I might find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." Like we read before in Galatians 5, talking about the works of the flesh, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh, they're evident. Some versions read, they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, underscore. Fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So my friends, we know that the Bible warns us against jealousy and envy, but what is that? What is jealousy anyway? Well, it's a combination of two things. It's a combination of strong desire and resentment. Here's what we mean by that, strong desire. Someone has experienced an advantage or a benefit in life, and we strongly desire to experience that benefit ourselves. Now, I got to point out something. I got to point out that that doesn't necessarily make us wrong. Because sometimes strong desire is acceptable and even encouraged. Here's what I mean by that. Perhaps we strongly desire to imitate godly people. That's a good thing. But what makes jealousy wrong is the other element to it. The one that makes it evil. It's when strong desire is mixed with resentment. That life is bitter, resentment and bitterness, that life is going well for the other person and not for us. And that combination is very, very powerful. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 27, verse 4, wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy?
Think about how we feel. Think about how we feel when we're jealous. Jealousy often makes us feel as if every particle of self-control we have in our entire being is just vaporized in one fell emotional swoop. It brings us to the end of our rope, so to speak. It brings us to the end of ourselves in just in a minute, in a millisecond. And we're no longer the same people as we were just a few moments before. You see, when we give in to jealousy, it makes us feel like we've been infected with the rage virus. We turn into that green-eyed monster that Shakespeare once described.
Proverbs 14:30 says that envy, which is a cousin to jealousy, envy makes the bones rot.
And the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6 says, jealousy is as fierce as the grave. So jealousy is a very fierce and powerful and evil and sinful thing. In a sentence, jealousy is a passionate mingling of a desire for something with a resentment that another is enjoying it and we are not.
Opportunities for jealousy are certainly abundant, and biblical characters were certainly no stranger to jealousy. We can read in the Bible of Cain and how he was jealous of Abel. You can find that in Genesis 4, verses 1 through 8.
Sarah was jealous of Hagar, Genesis 21, 9 through 10. Esau jealous of Jacob, Genesis 27, verse 41. And we know that Joseph's brothers were very jealous of him, Genesis 37, verses 3 through 11. However, it wasn't just for people of the past who had trouble with jealousy.
Opportunities for jealousy abound for us today here in the present, even as Christians.
Say you're single and you really want to be married. That's a good thing. And you have a close friend who just announced their own marriage. Well, you could start to feel a little resentful that it happened to him or her, and it hasn't yet happened to you. Or perhaps you have a child who is chronically sick.
Well, the other families around you always seem to be healthy. You could think to yourself, my child always sick. My child gets sick week in and week out and has these extraordinary problems.
But these other families who are no better than mine, they always seem to be well. Or what if you're on the second string, or like me back in high school, third or fourth string on the sports team, and all you do is warm the bench. Well, the good-looking athletic guy on the first string, he always gets to play all the time.
We know that the Bible warns against and prohibits jealousy. We know the effects of jealousy can be devastating. And we know there's plenty of opportunities for us, even as Christians, to be jealous and to practice that. So with this in mind, what are some practical biblical steps that we can take to deal with jealousy in a biblical way?
So with the time we have left this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to investigate some biblical steps
on how to deal with this very present and evil problem. Remember, and being content with God's grace is the first one. Carrying our own load and then carrying love to others will be the steps that we'll investigate.
All right, remembering and being content with God's grace.
Do we remember it as Christians? Do we remember God's grace? The first part of 1 Corinthians 15:10 reads, "But by the grace of God, I am who I am." Paul is saying that. And then Paul says in this, well, he doesn't say this in the second half of Acts 17:25. Someone else says this. But Acts 17:25 reads that God himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything,
and for the record, he actually did say that, so just ignore that. God himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Speaking personally, sometimes I forget that. Sometimes I forget these truths. I forget that all life is a gift from God. I forget that my family and my intellect and my health and my property, indeed, like Paul, I am who I am. I forget that. I forget God's grace. And I'll forget these things, and in my forgetting, I tend to be self-centered and selfish and self-concerned. Can you relate to that? I think in some part, we're all susceptible to that. Do we forget God's grace? It's surprisingly easy to do. You see, here's what happens. When we forget God's grace, we tend to develop a false sense of power and pride, and this leaves us vulnerable to evil emotions like jealousy. We'll forget God's gifts, and then we'll get jealous when other people have them more than we do. So what's the remedy, my friends? Let's remember to consistently go to God in thankful prayer. Consistent, thankful prayer will help us to remember God's grace. Here's why. If we have trouble remembering it, have we thought to pray that day? Have we thought to pray? And when we pray, do we actually thank God? Brothers and sisters, jealousy, it becomes very difficult to practice. It becomes very difficult to hold on to consistently and to sustain when we're consistently going to God and thanking Him for His grace. Speaking of that, speaking of God's grace, are we content with it? Do we find it adequate? Do we find it sufficient? I mean adequate in the biblical sense, not like, it's going to be adequate, but is it fully sufficient for us? 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, God is speaking to Paul, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Some versions say, my grace is enough. Do we truly believe that about ourselves and our relationship with God? Is God's grace enough for us? My friends, when we're jealous, we're like this. We're like a thirsty person who, out of discontent, turns from a perfectly good and satisfying, overflowing fountain of cold and clear and refreshing water. We turn aside from that because we're not content with that, and we go and make our own water jars that just end up bone dry and broken. Jeremiah 2:13 talks about that, talking about people, talking about where they find their contentment in. Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Jesus himself said in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35, I'm the bread of life. And whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall not thirst. My friends, is God's grace sufficient for us? Do we trust Jesus' promise that He will fully satisfy us? Or do we look to something or someone else in which to find our contentment? Are we content with God's grace? So to deal with jealousy, the instruction is to remember and be content with God's grace. Let's go on and think about carrying our own load. Go ahead and turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. Galatians 6, verses 4 through 5. Paul is speaking, and he's telling Christians to let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. It's really difficult to be jealous of other people when we're focused on our own life. As in, we're focused on our own load, Galatians 6. When we're working out our own salvation, Philippians 2, verse 12. When we are focused on living quiet lives, minding our own affairs, and working with our own hands, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. The Bible gives us very good instruction on how either to avoid jealousy altogether, or to remedy it when it rears its ugly head. God's Word tells us to focus in on our own life.
focus in on our own responsibilities and actions, our own load.
The good and bad in our own load is what we should carry, and we shouldn't be focusing on our own, our neighbor's load. Here's what I mean by that. Question for you. Do we ever find ourselves doubting this? As in, we know that God knows us intimately. Luke 12:7 says, why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Some of us more than others. I'm losing some of those hairs. Jesus tells us, fear not, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. God knows what, as individuals, we can personally handle. He knows what load we can personally handle. He knows what things can help us personally grow. He knows what things can ultimately bring about our personal harm and destruction.
As in, haven't we ever desperately wished for something only to realize later that having it would have been very harmful for us? Have you ever done that before? Have you ever wished for a lot of money? Have you ever asked for fame or being one of the popular people?
Have you ever considered having and just wanting a life totally free of problems and annoyances? My friends, what kind of people would we actually be today if God had fulfilled every selfish and thoughtless desire of our hearts? My friends, let's stop comparing our blessings and our load with those of other people. Let's stop that. Rather, let's continue to focus on all that is good in our own life. About this. When we wish for someone else's life and blessing, you know what we do? We waste our own life. Satan will have done his job very well if he can divert our attention and kill our joy by making us want what God has entrusted to someone else. So far we've looked at remembering and being content with God's grace and arresting jealous thoughts by focusing on our own load. Let's finish this whole thought out by carrying some love to others, thinking about that. The Bible instructs us to actively pursue good for others. We know that. Galatians 6, 9 through 10 says, let us not grow weary of what? Doing good. Not just thinking about good, but actually doing good. For in due season we will reap, for if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Hebrews 13, verse 16 reads, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And Philippians 2, verse 4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. My friends, do we have a jealous spirit, or do we have a giving spirit? What kind of attitude do we have in our inner being? Because the choice really is ours to either way, and the instruction is to actively choose to be a giver. You see, when we adopt the mindset of being giving people who do good for others, we'll look for those opportunities to love others. And this mindset that we have helps displace, helps get rid of, and sometimes helps avoid jealous thoughts and emotions, which in turn will help us displace jealous actions. Remember, Proverbs 23, verse 7 tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the idea is to, in our inner being, in our minds, with our attitudes, is to focus on being an encourager, someone who fills up the cup of others rather than someone who's always looking for a way to drain them. The goal is to make doing good the business of our lives. And remember, the opportunity to do good imposes the obligation to do it. A guy named Cotton Mather once said that. James said it this way in James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin.
My friends, look over that list of blessings that we all have, that God has placed into our lives. Is there anything on that list that we can use to do good for others, that we can use to bless someone else? How can we use our gifts to help our neighbors for their good? So after this morning's lesson, I hope we can see that the Bible warns against and prohibits jealousy. And we've also seen that the effects of jealousy, they can be devastating to us and in the lives of others. We've looked at three biblical steps on how to deal with jealousy. Remember, and being content with God's grace. And carrying our own load and not our neighbor's. Carrying some love to others. You know, at Woodland Hills, our aim is to know God and to make Him known. And as such, we're striving as individuals and as a people to have deeper faith and holier lives and stronger families. As Christians, we're dedicated to becoming more Christ-like each and every day. Would you like to become a Christian this morning? The Bible tells us to become a Christian. We do that by believing in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, confessing His great name, repenting of our sin, and being baptized in water as an appeal for a good conscience, for the washing away of sins, calling on His name. If we can assist you in any way to become a part of God's family this morning, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.